Good morning, everyone. My name is Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, the radio show providing up-to-date information on various health topics. Insights for Health is brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, now celebrating 26 years since 1992. The Healthy Habit, where we help you step-by-step with personal service all life long. Our topic today is collagen, an essential building block for health. And our guest today is Nelson Narciso. And Nelson has more than 20 years experience as a holistic nutritionist, herbalist, and is currently the director of education at Progressive Nutritional Therapies. Nelson, welcome back to Insights for Health.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for having me back on.
So collagen is as an essential building block. Can you start out by just maybe describing, Nelson, what is collagen?
Well, collagen is a protein, but it's the key structural protein in the body. It's the one that we find more of than any other protein. In fact, over a quarter of the total protein in the body is made up of this structural, what we call often called glue, called collagen.
Yeah. So where in the body is it, I guess, found?
we traditionally think of collagen, and people often think, well, it's skin, cartilage, ligaments, all that's true. It's in those areas, but it's also in the bones and tendons, muscle, teeth, intestines, the nails, the jelly-like tissue or substance of the eye called the vitreous humor. It's found in blood vessels and hair. So as you can see, it's really found in many, many, many regions throughout the body.
So it's maybe easier to say, where isn't it?
Exactly.
So where would it be the most prevalent?
Well, you find it oftentimes in mostly in things like, you know, cartilage and ligaments and skin. Those are the areas where you tend to find it dominate. But once again, it's found in, and it depends on the type of collagen we're talking about, because there are many different types of collagen. So depending on the type of collagen that we're talking about, it's distributed differently in different parts of the body.
So isn't there like something in the range of, 28 different forms of collagen?
Correct. Yeah, there are actually 20 different types of collagen in the human body. However, types 1, 2, and 3 dominate. 80 to 90% of all the collagen in the body is made up of those three forms.
And so they're going to work together in different ways as well.
Oh, absolutely. In different ways, and once again, they're going to be in different areas. So your type 1 collagen, for example, which is the dominant form, is going to be in the skin, tendons, ligaments, the dentin of the teeth, the vascular tissue, organs and bones. And what a little sort of interesting side note, on a gram-for-gram base, it's actually stronger than steel. So it's a remarkably strong substance.
Yeah, like it forms sort of like a helix, doesn't it? Like a braided sort of thing?
Correct. Yeah, it does that. It forms this helix, and it sort of looks like, if you can imagine, a rope. And it's sort of amazing how that kind of structure provides it with such, not only such function, but such strength.
So of the different forms of collagen, what form does your company, Progressive, use?
We use types 1 and type 3, which happen to be the two dominant forms. So although I mentioned there's type 1, type 2, and type 3, type 1 is most dominant, followed by type 2, and then quite a drop below that is type 3 in terms of quantity in the body.
So 1 and 3 seem to be more synergistic for our purposes here? Or
One could certainly say that, but they are certainly the dominant forms. So clearly when one says they're the dominant forms, they have larger role to play amongst the 28 different forms of collagen. Not to take away from the function of others, which are certainly important, but clearly we need more of type 1 and 3 for a reason.
So we don't, a company's not going to try and produce all 28.
No, I've actually never seen a company with typically more than two, and oftentimes some companies just have the one. So you don't see all 28 forms of collagen found in any product that I know of, unless one was maybe going to, and I'm not even sure if this would be the case, but if you made your own bone broth, maybe then in a case like that, you might be able to somehow, and this is just speculative, extract more of the different forms of collagen. But otherwise, in collagen powders, it's typically one or two collagens that you typically find in them.
Yeah. So there's different ways to create a collagen supplement. What process does Progressive use?
Well, collagen's a large protein, right? So what we wanted to do, and what is something that you see often used in the scientific studies when talking about or using collagen, is something called hydrolysis, which simply means taking a protein, in this case, a hydrolyzed protein. You take a protein and you break it down into smaller segments. So I need to give you a bit of a preface this with a bit of a little kind of protein 101.
Yep.
When you put a bunch of amino acids together, a small string of amino acids, they form peptides.
Yep.
When you put a bunch of those together, think of like trains on a cabooses on a train, you get enough of those peptides, you now have a protein. Well, to absorb and utilize a protein, it has to be digested and broken down into its peptides and amino acids, otherwise you can't absorb it. So what they've developed is a way of doing that, of partially, if you will, digesting or breaking down the protein so that it not only is more easily digested, but more rapidly absorbed. And hydrolysis is that process by which they take the collagen and break it down into smaller segments for better absorption and for faster absorption as well.
So that's where, so we eat protein, and then the body breaks it down into the peptide to the amino acid, then the amino acids absorb through the intestines into the bloodstream, and then the body rebuilds that amino acid into other proteins.
Yeah, you have to initially disassemble it to absorb it before you reassemble it and use it to make other proteins in all the tissues and organs, et cetera, in the body.
So you use a term enzymatic. That's part of that digesting of the collagen in order to make it more absorbable?
Correct. So there's different ways of breaking down the collagen protein. You can use chemicals, it's called chemical hydrolysis, or you can use enzymes. And these are enzymes that are designed specifically to act like little scissors that break apart protein. So we use enzymatic hydrolysis, which is not only deemed to be a gentler method of breaking down the collagen, but also you don't get those chemical residues that you would if you use the chemical hydrolysis method.
So it's a lot cleaner then?
Correct.
So typically in our diet, are we going to consume enough collagen?
You know, and that's a fantastic question. And I would argue, and I think that few would be able to counter this, that we do not. We simply do not have anywhere near as much collagen today that we did in traditional diets.
Okay, so you might have a breast of chicken, a steak, you might have pork chops or whatever, you know.
Right.
You might have, have a good veggie protein. So how come we're not getting enough collagen in our diet?
Yeah, well, because what you've just described, with the exception of the veggie protein, are the muscle components of the animal, right?
Okay.
The chicken breast, the chicken leg, et cetera. People consume typically the muscle meat part of the animal.
Okay, yeah.
But think about traditionally what was consumed. It was really almost all the animal. Very little went to waste. I mean, I challenge anyone to think of a culture that traditionally did not consume organ meats. And by the way, I shouldn't say consumed as in past tense. In many parts of the world, outside of North America, these are still consumed regularly. Organ meats, skin, tendon, gristle, bone, gelatinous cuts of meat have been consumed since the beginning of our evolution. So we've always consumed those things, and it's those other things outside of the meat protein that sure enough contain
right.
the collagen.
Well, I remember my parents, they'd get a whole beef and there would be the organs of that beef tongue. I mean, it was
we had that too.
I mean,
I remember as a kid. Rather disgusted by it.
Yeah.
But you know, it was the brain of the animal. It was the tongue. I mean, you'd make a stew and the skin of the chicken was in there. I mean, all things were used, and that's not the case today. This stuff is often just considered waste, and you know, it begs the question, what is happening as a result of only consuming one element of the animal and not more of it?
Yeah. So back to the amino acids, and relative to the traditional diets, glycine is one of those 20 amino acids. And what's research showing us regarding glycine?
Well, as you recall earlier, I mentioned there's essential and non-essential aminos. Well, glycine has always been classified in the past as a non-essential amino. And it's true that we can make it. The problem is it seems that we cannot make enough, and we're not getting enough through our diet. So glycine has a more quote-unquote, if you will, essential function than was once believed. In fact, scientists are suggesting that we are falling well short of our glycine intake. In fact, they suggest for the average sort of human in terms of weight, we're looking about getting 10 grams less glycine a day for optimal health. That's a lot of one single amino acid to not be getting in one's diet.
Yeah. So of these 20, we should be, there's a threshold, a minimum that we should be getting.
Well, correct. I mean, you need to be getting obviously enough of those aminos to then allow the body to turn them into actual functional proteins. We are getting enough of many of the other amino acids, but this often neglected amino, which because it was non-essential, people thought, well, fine, we can make it. Well, it turns out we're not making enough often, and we are certainly not getting it from our diet like we traditionally would have.
So there was a study or a comment, I guess, made by the Journal of Bioscience saying that we should actually be supplementing.
Yeah, they recommend that, in fact, that we actually supplement with a glycine to meet our metabolic needs, and that present levels that we're getting and manufacturing are once again falling short of those levels. And they suggest, in fact, I'll read you this direct quote. They said, quality of life can be improved by taking glycine as a nutritional supplement. A pretty powerful statement.
So in collagen, how much glycine would be in collagen then?
About 20-30% of the amino acid composition of collagen is glycine. There is no other protein that we know of that has as much glycine as collagen, but by a large margin. So glycine is not only the dominant protein or amino acid in collagen, there is no other protein that contains as much glycine as collagen.
Nelson, we're going to take a real quick commercial break here. And when we come back, let's pick up our topic on collagen, an essential building block for health.
Excellent.